sweet potato pie, and I shut my mouth. Gone, gone with the wind. There ain't nobody looking back again.
Welcome back to the Jeff Forrest Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks so much for listening on this Wednesday morning. We do appreciate it. Still to come on the program in about an hour from Yellowhammer News. So Sean Ross will be with us. Please stick around for that. Joining us now is a pleasure to bring on my next guest. Offers, I think, a very good perspective on what's going on, not only in the world, but in Montgomery and here stateside. Former State Senator Dick Brubaker on the line. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Just trying to pick up after the storm. Lord, we had some rough weather here last night, and it shows.
Well, it's taking its toll down here this morning already a little bit, but it's just that time of year, I guess, where you get these this battle between the season changes, and then now here it'll be summertime here before you know it.
I just wish it wouldn't pull quite so many. Pull the roof off my barn and shingles off my roof.
Yeah.
But anyway, well, life and outside, I love it.
Well, hopefully that situation improves for you. I don't know how closely you've been watching what's going on in the Alabama legislature. Every year, though, it gets down to these last 3 days. I know it's just a product of the way things are, the way they've always been. But we get to this, you get past the where you need the BIR, any of that. Although you still have that going on in the House. But it just seems like we do this every year. We wait to the very last minute to put the high-profile or controversial items out there, and you go until midnight, you go until midnight. Is that just going to be just the standard operating procedure for the foreseeable future in the Alabama legislature?
It does, because it empowers the leadership. And if you... The way you maintain control is to have to keep control of the process. And the process is a lot easier to control with the BIR there. And you got to remember how much leverage the budget system lets the budget chairman and the pro tem apply to other members. They're not going to put their foot down on any other issue while the funding for their district's being decided. But once that budget's passed, and you take that factor away, all of a sudden legislators act a lot more independently of what leadership wants. And I give you an example. This hideous gambling bill that they passed is proof of that. I mean, a combination of very effective application of pressure by the leadership and the fact that there's some people. Constituents couldn't come down and watch their legislators for a whole session because of COVID. I mean, it's kind of stuff you get. I mean, have you looked at that bill?
Yeah. Well, but the House and the Senate versions of the bill are very. I'm so desensitized to the process. I guess if I had taken a step back. And, I hadn't been paying attention to this so much. Yeah, it would be pretty alarming.
I'm embarrassed for the state Senate. I mean, the whole idea of this is supposedly to get money for the state, maximize revenue. But then you put in a bid process that more or less guarantees that no one except existing gambling operators will even bid. So they'll have no competition. For any bidding any other thing in the state, that would be illegal. And this amnesty for bad actors, they're just giving people immunity to break the law on the front end.
Right.
I mean, I can see this thing got out of the legislature.
But that's
the only, Republicans voted for it.
That's the only way it becomes a black or white choice, though. The only way you get to it. Is if you overlook a lot of this, like you said, it does seem to incentivize rule breaking, law breaking. If you go ahead with it, based on what's happened in the past, but I guess at some point the people want to see the stalemate broken, and they just want
to
legalized.
Say, I don't know, pick a county that doesn't have one of these six venues that were chosen. Think about what they gave your legislature to lock your county out forever.
But isn't
along
that,
with this supposed economic development.
Isn't that the problem? That there's some counties that absolutely do not want it. I talked to
they
my friends.
Want it now. And but to say that you're not going to have it forever.
I mean, that's.
What did they have to give that senator to lock his own district out?
I mean,
that's what you need to think about. I mean, this is out of hand. And the level of, you know, we don't have a two-party state or a one-party system in Alabama. You have a no-party system. There's no recognize. There's nothing Republican or about what's going on now. You know, they're using the gaming bill to expand Medicaid. Fine, that may be a good thing if you want to expand Medicaid. But, you know, all these were Democrat issues that are now adopted by Republican leadership and are being forced through in a session where their constituents can't go down there and influence them. Same way this group of leaders, remember how they passed the gas tax
right,
and made sure legislators wouldn't have to go home for even one weekend and face their constituents? Well, this is that writ large. And I'm telling you, the level of corruption that this gaming bill invites, I mean, you better get used to not being able to influence your legislators. Because the way this gaming bill is written, think how much control the gambling interests have now that they were able to get into this bill a provision that essentially only they can bid on it.
Well, I'm not disagreeing with any of that, but let's take a step back here and look at the electoral politics and the gambling polls so well in Alabama. And while this isn't exactly that, it's being portrayed as something. It's being portrayed as giving the people the right to vote on a lottery or whatever. And if they punt, if they can't get this through, if they can't get it done in any form whatsoever, be it this form or another standalone, and I would argue the standalone lottery thing has no chance. But they have to get it done somehow in order to get it to the ballot because it polls real well and that's what people want.
I got a news for you.
What do you do?
You name me one person that ran on passing games. I know of one out of the whole legislature that has their R by their name that campaigned because it polled so well in their district on bringing gambling to the fore. I know of one.
But would it backfire on somebody if they don't get it done? Would somebody, and then that's the fear, I guess, is that in 2022 somebody would run against them for not getting it done?
Well, let me put it to you this way. Most of those people, now I term limited myself. I said I would run two terms and then I would get out. But I think we can agree that I could still be in the Senate if I wanted to be.
Right.
And I could probably stay in the Senate as long as I want. And that applies to every senator sitting there. Look how many five-term-plus people you have. And they've got reelected every time without passing gambling.
Well,
the idea that they can't face their voters and get reelected if they don't put a gaming bill out there, I just don't think history backs that up.
Well,
people have.
Go ahead.
I mean, I could be wrong. I mean, I'm just respectfully disagreeing with you. In the past, it hasn't been that way. That's all I'm saying.
Well, and I'm not taking a position on that or not, but I think that's the incentive of a lot of members of the Alabama legislature to do something is that they're fearful of not doing something. And while that may or may not be true, that's in the back of their minds.
Well, let me tell you what I think they're really fearful of. They were fearful of having their districts written out of the budget. Because what has changed is House and Senate leadership in both houses firmly committed to passing a gaming bill. They have allowed bills to come to the floor like the terms I was there, but you didn't have the full court press from leadership that something was going to pass. This time you did. I mean, the legislators I talked to that were no's on this, you had some pretty clear threats made about sort of like the gas tax. If you don't vote for it, you're going to pay for it. And guys like Mike Holmes have certainly paid for it.
Right. There's still probably that whiteboard up in the governor's office with the green, red, and black marks based on what you voted on the Rebuild Alabama Act. And that's
yeah, absolutely. I agree.
That's kind of a crazy thing that it does seem to me the House version of this whole package came out of the governor's office, that the governor, Joe Bonner, and the staff there in Governor Ivey's office seems to be very proactive on gaming and wanting to get something done. I don't know what motivates that, but I don't know if it's legacy building or if this, you know, they look at this as an election issue. She runs again. But it does seem to be that the governor is invested in this gaming issue.
I think that a lot of people in the BCA are certainly very invested in this gaming issue. And how this will, I mean, look, I think Kay Ivey is going to get reelected, gaming aside. But I do think allowing a bill to move forward written in this way is not providing a very good service for the people. I mean, it is. I mean, have you ever seen legislation put before the people that guarantees amnesty for people that act in bad faith?
Not at the state level, not like this, at least.
No, me either. And that's what's so concerning about this. And I have a hard time believing that that's what Kay Ivey wants.
Well, it is also the money involved. It's not quite the sum of money that maybe it once could have been now that every state has this. But there does seem to be very ambitious plans for the money. The Senate wants to do something with the rural broadband, but it's like you said earlier.
The rural broadband,
the expansion of Medicaid is it looks like where this is headed.
Yeah, this gets them off a lot of hooks, provided the money comes through. Now, when you've legislated all this in, and if the money doesn't come through, the problem they're going to have is they put it in the law, and they've still got to find a way to pay for it. But, you know, we'll see what happens. Maybe this really will bring in as much money as they say. It'll actually make its way into healthcare or whatever. That all remains to be seen. For their own sakes, I hope there's a payoff to this because this is a big deal if it becomes law.
Well, I'm skeptical that this has a chance, though. I think it's way too late. And, you know, they ran out the clock on it. And we're watching this whole medicinal marijuana gameplay out, and that's running out even more clock. Daylight is burning, and
yes, it is.
I think maybe that could be somewhat intentional. That this will, if it's going to happen, it's going to have to happen in a special session. I don't think it happens in the fourth year of a quadrennium, or we're waiting until 2023.
And I would be surprised if Governor Ivey calls a special session on gaming. I realize that just on gaming. I mean, if the Medicaid expansion is something the leadership is committed to. Maybe this is the only way they can think of to pay for it, because I don't think they're going to raise another tax like the fuel tax anytime soon.
No.
I don't think they're going to do that twice in the same quadrennium.
I think you're right. And they're certainly just not going to suck it up and cut something else for Medicaid expansion. So that, but you know, for the first time, since Obamacare was passed, this is the closest, I think, the best chance they've had at expanding Medicaid, but it's always been a Democrat thing.
I agree. And if let's face it, this is, no matter how you cut it, this is a big win for Fitz England and Bobby Singleton and the people that have been carrying the expand Medicaid. I mean, it's a big win for the Democrats. This has been their agenda item. And they finally see a way home with a Republican majority.
Well, it seems like every year we have these discussions about expanding Medicaid. But if you look back at 2018, a Republican candidate wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. They were not interested. It was Walt Maddox's big campaign issue. And it's funny, and I don't know if this is a product of the Hospital Association or the BCA or whoever really pushing this, but you have some minds and some hearts and minds that have really warmed up to this idea of expanding Medicaid.
Well, if you're in, you know, if you're running a hospital, this is great for you. It is an expansion of an entitlement that once you expand it, it never goes away. And that's what Republicans have always been worried about. But apparently, they're not worried about it now.
No, well said. Senator, we're up against a break here, but... As always, we appreciate you making time for us. Let's do it again real soon.
Hey, thank you.
All right. That was former State Senator Dick Brubaker on the line. Very, very, I guess, adamant about the way this gambling bill is unfolded. And I do think there is a liability here if something doesn't get done or voted on. It, a lot of people just want the lottery, get that issue out of the way. But he's right. No one really ran on this on the Republican side. Maybe a few did, but not very many. Let's get a timeout in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Spanish Ford into Mobile.